This evening, I would like to share some more on Metta. I was invited to be a teacher trainee at Spirit Rock for their BIPOC retreat this year, and the theme was the paramis, the 10 perfections. And so, I had been just kind of reviewing that, remembering all of that, and basically, on the retreat, I was myself and another trainee. We were sharing a Dharma talk together, so we each had some time, and they were sharing on equanimity, and I was sharing on going to be sharing on metta. And we decided as a team, he and I, that we would share a personal story about, he would share a personal story about equanimity, and I would share one on metta. And nothing arose for me. Nothing. I couldn't think of anything. I couldn't remember a metta story. Whatever came up, I didn't think was appropriate or timely, and I was just really stuck. And then, I just let it go and said, "Well, I'll be able to say something about metta." But I woke up and one day, the day of the metta talk, and realized that, I started looking at the Metta Sutta, and I realized that I saw all of the paramis in the Metta Sutta, and I got all excited and geeked out and decided that's what I was going to share about. And I'm so excited about it still that I figured I'd share it with you all too. Of course, it'll be a little different because, I didn't necessarily write it all down. I just had this collection of things I wanted to touch on. And I was a little nervous to do it then, and I remembered that my teachers, two of my teachers, Martin Alward and Mark Coleman, during my mindfulness meditation teacher certification training, every time we met, they reminded us to trust in the goodness of our practice. And so I kept that quote, and it came to my heart that day, and I said, "Trust in the goodness of your practice, Ramona." And so that's what I'm doing. I'm trusting in the goodness of my practice by sharing my process of, working with the Dharma, contemplating the Dharma. So, of course, just starting with metta and loving kindness, like reminding myself, like what is metta? What does it mean? How has it been translated, and how do I translate it? And the words that I come up with are, benevolence, kindness, kind-heartedness, big-heartedness, goodness, goodwill, benignity, well-meaning, well-being, happiness, and contentment. And then there were other ways to understand metta. I went back to some quotes that I like to use, and this quote is from Larry Yang in his book Awakening Together: The Spiritual Practice of Inclusivity and Community. And Larry Yang says that loving kindness is the primal, intrinsic energy of the heart that also shares the experience of the present moment with mindfulness. And I really like how that speaks to the primal intrinsic energy of the heart. Like when we were just practicing in the meditation, and I was talking about how each and every one of us has this quality in us. And this says it, it's a primal intrinsic energy to be kind. I don't think it always surfaces when I want it to surface, but that's okay because everything's impermanent. Things come and go, everything ebbs and flows, which is why I think it's important for me to reflect, remind myself, and refresh my relationship to metta, loving kindness. And in her book, Mindfulness of Race, Transforming Racism from the Inside Out, Ruth King says that metta, or loving kindness, is a genuine desire for all beings without exception to be safe from inner and outer harm, to be healthy and content, and to live with ease. It's a genuine desire. A genuine desire for all beings without exception to be safe from inner and outer harm, to be healthy and content, and to live with ease. I think, you know, for me, that was like, oh, that's a great summary. I felt of like, you know, the Metta Sutta in a snapshot. And I've heard Aya Ananda Bodhi, one of the nuns from the former Alokavihara Monastery, talk about the quality of metta as an open heart towards happiness. And that was helpful for me, especially when I get stuck or I feel stuck or I feel other than kind, you know, or I experience something other than kindness towards me, you know. And it's like, oh, yeah, it's an open heart towards happiness, you know, and just the thought of trying to keep my heart open, like physically and, you know, humanly, because there was a time I remember living my life where I was just really tight and afraid to open up and afraid to give love and receive love in certain instances in relationships. Sometimes, like, you know, with my daughter, it was like, you know, of course, but the other loves, the other relationships, the other facets of expressing and receiving kindness were really quite shut down. And so if I can just open my heart towards it, and right now that's my primary practice, is to keep my heart open. And so that's one of the reasons that I offered those phrases, because when my heart starts to get tight or the thoughts come up around, you know, wanting to differentiate who, what, and how I send kindness out, who should receive it or not receive, or who I feel like giving it to or not. I'm just being honest, you know, the mind goes there, that when I sit down to actually practice, I can diffuse some of that tightness and energy and open up by just going, okay, everyone, all beings in the world. And so that the names, the political alignments, the views, my views, others, the laws, whatever it is, my experiences, that kind of, it doesn't disappear, but it dissolves in the moment, so that I can at least keep my heart open, you know, towards happiness, towards peace, towards ease, towards benevolence. Just, you know, can I at least keep my heart open? And we also know that there's, with the Brahmaviharas, knowing that metta is one of the four Brahmaviharas, right? We have metta, loving kindness, karuna, compassion, mudita, appreciative joy, and equanimity or upekkha. They all have what we call a near and far enemy. And I think of that as the near enemy is attachment. It kind of looks like love, but there are perhaps conditions, or perhaps there's a sense of possessiveness or expectations around it. And there may be some love up in there, but it's not the, I start to contemplate that that's not the love or the kindness that the Buddha was talking about. And just thinking of that, the translation for me, metta, loving kindness, it's like loving kindness, that word together wasn't even a word in my life when I first heard it. So I couldn't even relate to that, you know. So, but I understood attachment. So sometimes understanding what it's not is supportive, or can be supportive in understanding what I might see in an experience or feel into an experience, even if I can't name it. You know, I may not be able to say, oh, this is love without attachment. I can say, oh, I'm feeling something in my heart, mind, and it doesn't feel like attachment. Not sure what it is, but it feels loose, flexible, something. And then the far enemy is anger, aversion, or ill will. And that's when the opposite comes up, which is what I'm alluding to when I say that, yeah, I may want to be loving and kind all the time, or will always want to have loving and kind thoughts, but the truth is, anger, aversion, and ill will arise. I mean, they're innately in me too, so they arise just like that. And just understanding that, can I still be kind to myself and not judge myself when I have those experiences or those feelings arise? And not force love to be there, because again, as Ruth said, it's genuine. There's a genuine sense that needs to, or that I feel is a part of genuine metta. And Ruth says, when the opposite arises, or when metta is not present, that the practice of kindness or metta is simple, but not always easy. It is simple because they are humble phrases that we offer to ourselves and then extend to others. The practice is not easy because we don't always feel loving or kind. When we are not feeling loving or kind, kindness practice is precisely what we need. So it's like, you know, yeah, I don't feel like practicing metta, or I don't want to be kind, or even I don't even know if I think about it that way. But to realize that, oh, this is exactly the practice I need when kindness is not present, you know, or when I don't feel loving or kind. So there's other reasons to practice metta. You know, as I was looking up the Metta Sutta and looking up things around it, I brought up the, what is it called? The Metta Nisamsa Sutta, the discourses on the advantages of loving kindness. And so this is when the Buddha was saying that there are benefits to practicing metta. And in the Anguttara Nikaya, this is the, which number is it? 11.16, if you like references. The Buddha says that, I like to make the words more inclusive. So this is not an exact reading. I'm going to change the words from like he and she to they are one, and monks to practitioners as best I can as I read this. But there are 11 advantages to practicing metta. Practitioners, 11 advantages, excuse me, practitioners, 11 advantages are to be expected from the release, deliverance of heart by familiarizing oneself with thoughts of loving kindness, metta, by the cultivation of loving kindness, by constantly increasing these thoughts, by regarding loving kindness as a vehicle of expression, and also as something to be treasured, by living in conformity with these thoughts, by putting these ideas into practice, and by establishing them. What are the 11? One sleeps in comfort. One awakes in comfort. One sees no evil dreams. One is dear to human beings. One is dear to non-human beings. Devas or gods protect them. Fire, poison, and sword cannot touch them. One's mind can concentrate quickly. One's countenance is serene. One dies without being confused in mind. If one fails to attain arahantship, the highest sanctity here and now, one will be reborn in the Brahma world. These 11 advantages, practitioners, are to be expected from the release of heart by familiarizing oneself with thoughts of loving kindness, by cultivation of loving kindness, by constantly increasing these thoughts, by regarding loving kindness as a vehicle of expression, and also as something to be treasured, by living in conformity with these thoughts, by putting these ideas into practice, and by establishing them. So said the Blessed Ones, and the practitioners rejoiced at the words of the Blessed One. So, in my opinion, the Buddha is giving us inspiration to continue to practice, to spend substantial time to invest in our practice of kindness, for not just for the benefit of all beings, but for our own benefit. And if we benefit from these things, I know that if I wake up peacefully, I'm more peaceful in the morning. So I mean, hopefully increasing peace in the world, even if no one ever sees me, you know, because I live by myself. So a lot of times I wake up and it's just me, but I'm not, you know, putting out negative energy when I wake up peacefully or when I sleep peacefully. I know for sure I have better energy because when I don't, I impact my own well-being. And oh, so, you know, that's just some motivation to practice metta and to see metta as to see metta as something that's alive, not just something to manufacture, but to work with our hearts as they are, to work with all of the complexities that might arise as we're inclining our heart mind towards kind intentions and actions in our lives, you know, and as we do it for ourselves, we impact the rest of the world. Just as if I do something unkind or cruel, or other unkind things are happening in the world and cruelty, I'm impacted by that energy. So too am I impacted by well-being, benevolent energy. So metta as a parami was the point. You know, I was like, oh, so metta is a brahmavihara, but metta is also a parami, one of the 10 perfections, one of the 10 qualities that practitioners, teachers, commentaries have said are qualities of an awakened one or an enlightened being, or qualities that the Buddha must have had himself. And the 10 paramis or 10 perfections are dana, generosity, sila, ethics and morality, nekama, renunciation, panya or wisdom, virya, energy, kanti, patience, satya, truthfulness, aditana, resolve, resolution or persistence, metta is loving kindness, and equanimity. And if you've practice the Dhamma for a while, which I know you all have, unless there's somebody new here that I don't know. But I can also say, as we practice the Dhamma, or as I've practiced the Dhamma, there's, with all of the lists and diagrams and groups of this and that and the other, there's a lot of overlap. And this is one of those lists with a lot of overlap in it. And so, metta as a parami, I was also interested in, like, what's the difference between metta as a parami and metta as a brahmavihara? And at this time, my reflections have changed in terms of I'm not looking to see what the difference is. That's not what I found yet. It's on a different list. As I was looking for that, what's the difference? How do I talk about metta as a parami? As I came to that again, I looked at the Metta Sutta, the Buddha's words on loving kindness. And what I found was that the Metta Sutta, in my humble opinion, encompasses all of the paramis. So that if I practice or study the Metta Sutta, I am, in fact, practicing all of the 10 paramis. Not only can metta be seen as a parami, not only is it listed as one of the 10 perfections or ways of being or qualities to aspire to, it also encompasses them, in my opinion. So with that said, and that really is my opinion, I was reading the sutta, and all of a sudden, I was like, there is such and such, and there is such and such. And so this is the heart of what I want to share. I'm going to do I have the ability to share my screen? Do I have it?
Yes, you do.
I do? Okay. Let me see. Give me a little few moments here to just figure it out. Not the share screen part, but to bring up the... Okay, I'm not sure if... I know how to share my screen, but... Okay, here it is. Ugh. Do you see that? Okay. Thank you for some thumbs up. So I'm just going to go through this. I put it up for those that are visual as I go through it. So the Metta Sutta is the Buddha's words on loving kindness. And so right away, when I saw this is what should be done, I said, ah, there's Adhidhamma, resolve. This is what should be done. This is actually, you know, I mean, he just lays it out, straight up lays it out. This is what should be done. So I said, Adhidhamma, resolve. That's what I'm going to do. That's what the directions are. That's what the teachings are. By one who is skilled in goodness. And right there, I saw metta, loving kindness. So I saw metta within metta. And of course, we're going to find metta in the Metta Sutta. At least I would guess, but I had never really looked at it this way. And one, and who knows the path of peace, that's also loving kindness. Let them be able and upright, straightforward and gentle in speech. And when I read, let them be able and upright, I see energy, virya. We have to have some kind of energy to practice. And also in able and upright, I see sila. Upright in terms of not being uptight, but to have a sense of morality in our practice. And straightforward and gentle in speech is also having ethical speech and also metta, if we're gentle in our speech, having metta as we speak. And metta shows up through the Metta Sutta a couple of times again. Humble and not conceited, contented and easily satisfied. There, I drew a line with nekama, or renunciation, that has a lot to do with letting go, releasing, simplifying, even softening the ego, as well as being contented and easily satisfied with simple offerings or simple ways of living. Unburdened with duties and frugal in their ways is another, for me, expression of nekama, or ways to understand nekama, one of the 10 paramis. Peaceful, calm, and wise and skillful. We have panya. We have wisdom. The Buddha is saying, peaceful and calm, wise and skillful. And in terms of calm and peace, kanti, or patience, is there. Not proud or demanding in nature. Again, kanti, patience. Wisdom. If I'm wise, I don't have to be proud or demanding, because I can lean into the Dharma with more of a selflessness. Let them not do the slightest thing that the wise would later reprove. And I saw satya there, truthfulness. If I'm honest and truthful, there's less regret. There's more, bliss of blamelessness in being truthful and not having to deal with that at a later time. Wishing in gladness and in safety, may all beings be at ease. Again, that's metta and loving kindness. And in this, I'm going to read a whole chunk here. Whatever living beings there may be, whether they are weak, whatever living beings there may be, weak or strong, omitting none, the great or the mighty, medium, short or small, the seen and the unseen, those living near and far away, those born and to be born, may all beings be at ease. Within that whole chunk, I saw generosity, dana, and sila, ethics. Because it's all beings, whatever beings there may be, is everyone. The great, the mighty, the medium, short, or small, omitting none. That's being generous with our loving kindness. Not discriminating about who I'm offering my metta to or who's receiving it. And then let none deceive another or despise any being in any state. Let none through anger or ill will wish harm upon another. So let none deceive another, again, is satya, truthfulness, or despise any being in any state. And if it's not despising, then there's kindness, benevolence. And let none through anger or ill will, the opposite, metta, wish harm upon another. That's metta, to not wish harm. And even as a mother protects with her life her child, her only child, so with a boundless heart, that's generosity, having a boundless heart, should one cherish all living beings, radiating kindness over the entire world, spreading upwards to the skies and downwards to the depths, outwards and unbounded, freed from hatred and ill will. That's again the generosity of our hearts. All living beings radiating kindness everywhere, all over, up, down, in, and out. And then freed from hatred and ill will. Metta again. Whether standing or walking, seated or lying down. Upekkha, equanimity, balance, no matter what. No matter what state you're in or what position you're in. Free from drowsiness, again, virya, there's energy. One should sustain this recollection. Aditana, resolve, persist. This is said to be the sublime abiding. By not holding to fixed views, equanimity, being with what is, with compassion and wisdom. The pure-hearted one, having clarity of vision, again, I see more equanimity, more upekkha, right? Being clear, being when we're balanced, when we're centered, when we have compassion and wisdom, clarity arises. Being freed from all sense desires is not born again into this world. And there I summarized as your commitment to incline your heart, mind towards kindness is aditana and resolve in action. And so I'll again read the 10 paramis. Dana, generosity, sila, ethics or morality, nekama, renunciation, panya, wisdom, virya, energy, kanti, patience, satya, truthfulness, aditana, resolve, resolution or persistence, metta, loving kindness, and upekkha, equanimity. And so I guess really as I began to, I could put this, I'm going to stop sharing the screen. As I began to, you know, I went into it looking to kind of separate out, you know, searching for metta as a parami. My brain sometimes gets very tight and very literal. And what I found was an expansiveness. What I found was, you know, really, I don't know if you all see it, and maybe I'll leave a few minutes to see what you see or if I'm nuts, but I really see all of these qualities woven into the Metta Sutta. And so instead of trying to practice all 10 paramis and figure out what they are, I could just work on metta. You know, I really think the Buddha was brilliant. I used to hear people say that. I'd be like, okay, yeah, they say some great things, but now I'm having my own, I'm geeking out on this one. And, you know, it may be seen totally differently, but it was just something I was excited about and wanted to share. And going back to, you know, not only practicing metta, you know, not just understand them, but to me, the Metta Sutta is about action. So it's also a way of taking the list of the 10 paramis and bringing some life to it through the action of practicing the Metta Sutta. So they're not just a standalone list of, oh, these are the 10 perfections. It's like, oh, and how do I put them into action in my life? And then I don't even have to really think about it if I just stick to one thing, metta loving kindness. You know, simplifying it. So in addition to the Metta Sutta encompassing all 10 paramis from my perspective and my point of view, we have the 10 benefits of Metta. And I have a more simplified list, which you may have heard before. People who practice Metta sleep peacefully, wake peacefully, dream peaceful dreams. People love them. Angels love them. Angels will protect them. Poisons, weapons, and fire don't harm them. Their faces are clear. Their minds are serene. They die unconfused. And when they die, their rebirth is in heavenly realms. And on a more practical, everyday reason to practice kindness, I'd like to share a quote in closing from Sylvia Boorstein. And also, it was amazing that this day that I was sharing this talk, I was checking my email, you know, and I saw news from Spirit Rock and Sylvia was speaking and I was like, oh, great, I can use this quote. It says it all. So, and I was also trying to tie in, you know, my talk, like I said, with the person I was sharing with that was talking about equanimity and me talking about Metta and Sylvia Boorstein, you know, tied it up better than I think I ever could. So here's Sylvia on loving, Sylvia Boorstein's words on loving kindness and equanimity from the Spirit Rock newsletter on July 3rd, 2024. The only thing that makes sense is kindness. Equanimity in the mind really depends on having enough balance to know that whatever is happening now is not happening because of yesterday. It's happening because of everything that has ever happened in this whole world. Every individual is heir to their own karma. There are no enemies and no villains. This is just life unfolding. And the only thing we can do is to be kind. We can be kind to ourselves and everybody we meet so that in this whole pained world, we don't add any fuel to the fire of enmity. Yes, thank you for listening. And, you know, I sincerely hope that something I shared, something I offer is of benefit to someone somewhere. Thank you. I will end there, and I think there's actually maybe a few minutes for reflections. I'm curious. Yes, Vita.
I remember, what did you, the last piece you read, what was that from?
Oh, the Sylvia quote?
Yeah.
It was from the Spirit Rock newsletter on July 23rd, okay. 2024, online. I might have it.
I can look it up on the newsletter.
Okay.
Thank you very much.
Thank you.
Great talk. Much appreciated.
Thank you.
And the timing is always just right.
Thank you. Uh-oh, I'm trying to find you all again. I don't know where my, okay. I'm sure you see me, but I don't see you. Okay, there you are. Oh, I'm sorry, Isabel, you may have had your hand up.
Yeah.
I'm sorry, I missed you.
No, you were right on time.
Okay.
I thought that was, I love Metta, and that was like one of the most creative, and like I thought I'd heard everything I could on Metta, and that was brilliant.
Oh.
Matching it up to the paramis, and I'm not really familiar with the paramis, but they are, you know, I actually kind of remember, I think one time my friend Mary Page was studying the paramis, and she was telling me about them. So that was a nice remembrance, but it was so beautiful and so much more depth. But I'll say a couple things. One is that Sylvia Boorstein quote, I saw that quote just scrolling through my email one day, and I thought it said it all. There's no reason to stress about anything because the causes of what we're doing today in this moment, they were created eons ago. And so there's no reason to struggle, really, because those causes are been there, done that. And kindness is the only thing we can do to, you know, mitigate anything. So I love that quote. When I read it, I thought it was perfect. And then I'll just say one more thing, and that is that I was really struggling this past winter. I had left one job and was looking for another job. And there were times when I was really unhappy. And I had already really been familiar with metta from Rick Hansen was the first person who said, you must do metta. And I fought him on it, but I ended up loving it, loving it. And it's profound and it's very powerful. And everything you said, the 11 benefits, so are true. Again, a reason to not only rejoice, but to let go. When you know that you're practicing metta, those 11 benefits really do happen. And you can trust in that. And that gives you a sense of confidence. But this time, when I was suffering this past winter, it was Donald Rothberg, actually, that recommended just do half an hour of metta every day along with your regular practice. And I was like, man, I'm so unhappy. I don't see how that could help, but okay. And sure enough, my heart, it just lifted the weight off my heart. And I started to see the joy in everything again. And just like that, I found myself laughing. And, you know, all of a sudden I just did the dark thoughts, the heaviness was gone. And it was something, again, that I couldn't put my finger on when it happened, but it was after I started the metta, and it had everything to do with the metta. So I am, you know, yes, I so appreciate your talk, Ramona. It was really beautiful. And it reminded me again that just to believe in that goodness in my own heart, it's so important. So thank you.
Thank you, Isabel. Thank you for sharing that testimony. Yeah, really appreciate it.